3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that is the inspired record, that a man that lived godly, will live godly, shall suffer persecution. All right? Joseph suffered persecution in his life, didn't he? But there came a time in his life that God lifted him up in the eyes of Pharaoh, and all the days on his job, all the days on his job unto Pharaoh, he were never told that he suffered persecution at all. He was raised up. There was nobody in Egypt like him except for Pharaoh. And he had a very peaceful time. There, read that verse, would you, Jerry?
When a man prays to the Lord to make an enemy, he achieves.
All right, now watch. Do those verses contradict? When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Joseph was at peace with Pharaoh in all Egypt. I wonder if Joseph could have ever said, well, I wonder what I'm doing wrong, that I just don't seem to... I had persecution at one time with my brothers and under Potiphar, the captain, but it just seemed like for years now I just hadn't had the tribulation and the persecution that I one time had. And I wonder if he would have known this verse, if he could have thought, well, what's wrong with me? Just don't seem like I'm suffering like I should be. But in Joseph's particular case, we're told in Proverbs 16:7, if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. All right? Let's say that a little later on, under Moses' time, Moses, he tried to put his brethren at one, and he had to go out of the country because of Pharaoh, a different Pharaoh. And the Lord told him years later, go back to Pharaoh. And we're told there that at that particular time that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He hardened his heart. Well, now, what is the difference between the Pharaoh that ruled over Joseph and the Pharaoh that ruled over Moses? The difference was, is God hardened one man's heart, another man's heart, he opened their heart. And that can be true on a job. It can be true in a job position or among friends or relatives. Sometimes I've heard of people getting up and they just all the time have trouble with their relatives. Just all the time. And I hear another brother say, well, my father doesn't ever say anything against the truth, or, you know. Well, I don't understand that. Unless I understand that if a man's ways please the Lord, sometimes that verse has got to have its place when it applies. 2 Timothy 3:12 has got to have its place when it applies. They don't apply all the time at a given time. And that's why they're both recorded at the same time. I think one of the things that thrilled my heart when I really got the details in my mind, I have been thrilled no little and appreciated deeply the various reports that I've heard our brother Melvin and the things that he suffered there in Houston. I don't know of anything that's probably thrilled us more in this area than what Melvin has done, and how God has so surely enabled him and helped him to be right with the Lord in some of those areas. And I've been deeply appreciated. And I know sometimes when you see a man that's really suffering, you think, thank God for that. It really does something for you. It just thrills you. Well, what if another brother is not suffering like Melvin? What if he doesn't go through the same exact suffering that he does? What if he's like under Joseph's time, under Pharaoh, during that area of his life, and he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him? Sometimes that's true. And we can say that it takes a lot. It takes a lot of courage to be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ when there's no persecution. It does take a lot. Sometimes when I'm not persecuted, it's sometimes when I am at my weakest point. because I want to give in. I want to be nonchalant. It's sometimes when people are throwing things at me that I want to pick up the spear and go to battle. It's some of those times. And I believe that rewarding experience has helped Melvin and strengthened him. Let me combine a story here that I think can be beautiful at this time. I couldn't help but appreciate when I heard the thrilling story that when Kenneth Yock, when he was rejected there in his planet in North America, and it came time for him to leave there because the labor union was going to put him out and his employer. And there came that time. Kenneth had called and let some of them know, and he said, "I just still under God." He said, "I just would to God that I could do something. I could do something during this time." I believe Kenneth looked at the labor union like the Hamanites. I really believe that he did. I really believe like he thought that they were Hamanites that wanted to lynch him. And they didn't have a God-given right to lynch him unless God allowed it to happen. And he wanted to look at the union just like the Hamanites. And he made an appeal to Caesar. He made an appeal to Queen Esther. And he was able to get his marching order. We're living in a different country. Our appeals are different. But I appreciated very much when I thought of when they sent Kenneth out. And later on, that same company needed a job to be performed. They needed a job performed. They didn't have anybody there to perform it. And what happened? They had to hire a private contractor. Who did Kenneth go to work for? The private contractor. And they sent Kenneth right back in. And the very men that voted Kenneth, I don't think they purposely did it on Kenneth individually, but they individually voted that they'd have a closed shop, and Kenneth was put out of his job. And when Kenneth went back in there as a private contractor, they wrote over the door, "Welcome home, Kenneth." And I had to scratch my head when I heard that. And I thought to myself, well, if I understand those two beautiful truths, that God gave him freedom in the very guy that put him out. That's beautiful. Now, those are beautiful truths. If a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemy to be at peace with him. And another time, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those are beautiful truths. God can open hearts or he can close hearts. Those are divinely. Look here at Ezra, the 8th chapter. Ezra 8. I won't go into the background and all the setting of Ezra, but I'll say this, that they had many battles and many things that came upon them. And there were many times that there had to be a ceasing of the work under the rebuilding of the wall. And it just so happened at the particular time that in Ezra's time, the things that he had committed himself unto the king, he felt constrained under his particular work at this time, that he felt ashamed about something. Let's read about that in Ezra, the 8th chapter. I believe it's verse 21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, for his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought God for this, and he was entreated of us." That's beautiful. That is a beautiful portion of Scripture. I appreciate it when Melvin, in his conflict, when he gave this testimony and report, Melvin said, you know, he said, when his boss, I think it's Dewey, or one of them, I don't remember, said, "Would you take out, said, you don't need to go through that picket line. You need to, we'll get you a police escort." And Melvin said that he just believed what he had testified to those fellows and the things that he said. He just felt like that he just couldn't do that. Well, I thank God for that. I thank God that he had the courage and the boldness and the swiftness. I told Melvin later that, Melvin, you cannot rule out the fact of God's divine protection in your life. There could be a time when God would use that Caesar in your life there. So you can't just make a boast that completely, that God may not use you completely. There may be a time when Almighty God may want to use His righteous arm of Caesar in your life. And so we went over some passages like that. Look here at Nehemiah 2, verse 9. Nehemiah had received permission from the king to go back into the land, and notice what the king did for him. Then I came to the governors beyond the river. Remember, they had burned the walls with fire in the city. They set it on fire. Terrible troubles that they were having. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Well, now, Nehemiah, why did you want to use the king's letters? Why don't you just go down there and say, this is of God, and I'm of God, and don't bring Caesar into this picture at all. Don't bring Caesar into it at all. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. He sent those with him. Why? Because the king wanted to do it, and Nehemiah did not refuse it. But Ezra did. Those are not contradictions. It's just simply that sometimes in the Word of God, there are legitimate times to use Caesar under certain conditions. There's times, because of our testimony in certain areas, in certain phases of our life, we don't want to. And it depends on the situation sometimes. Look at Acts 23. Look at Acts 23. I think that's one reason that our beloved Apostle Paul, I believe that he could go back and look in the Old Testament scriptures during his conflicts and his trials, and he could with beauty and joy reflect. There were times that Paul no more wanted to use Caesar than anything, and he was spiritual. There were times that he spiritually used Caesar, and he was godly in doing so. He wasn't a weak saint.